Turn to Acts. Acts chapter number 8. Acts chapter number 8. And then if you'll just take your finger and turn to 1 Peter chapter number 1. Brother Randy's talking about God working on both ends. I believe that either Randy or the Holy Ghost one was in my study this afternoon. He sang that song, Hallelujah to the Lamb. Tonight we're going to look at Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God. It's nothing new to you. It's not a new thought. But I pray that the Lord would encourage us and challenge us tonight through Christ being that Lamb. You know, it seems many times the preferred method of God teaching and Jesus teaching to explain a certain point, to explain a certain topic, he would often use the words like and as. Over and over again, you'll find in your Bible, when Christ is teaching a heavenly truth, when he's teaching a spiritually unseen truth, he uses that word like and as. We find in the scriptures, Jesus, he's as an eagle. We find in the scripture, he's as a serpent, as Moses lifted up the brazen serpent. We find him as a door, as a light, on and on and on. But tonight I like to look at him as and like a lamb. Philip here in Acts chapter number 8 is preaching the gospel to an Ethiopian eunuch. This Ethiopian, he had came to Jerusalem. And he came to Jerusalem to worship. And as he's traveling back, God speaks to Philip. Philip leaves Jerusalem. He goes down past Gaza into the desert. And he finds this eunuch. And we find that in Acts chapter 8, verse number 30. The Bible says, "And Philip ran hither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understanding thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth." If you'll take your Bible and turn to 1 Peter, chapter number 1, verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. "For as much as ye know that we are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by the traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot." Time and time again, from Genesis to Revelation, over and over again, we find Jesus pictured as a lamb, the Son of God. He's pictured, he's foreshadowed, he's illustrated a type as a lamb. And this is nothing new to you tonight, but a lamb, the most non-threatening, the most meek, the most non-frightening, non-aggressive, defensive species in the animal kingdom. You know, there's no animal tonight that you, no other animal tonight that you should not be frightened of than a lamb. You know, we read stories mainly in the spring and in the summer. It's very, very common to read about those shark attacks on the coast. Those shark bites or close encounters with these deadly, deadly sharks. You know, my wife, you can't bribe her and you can't pay her enough money just to dip her small toe into the ocean. She's watched the movie Jaws and she hears that cello music playing. She's not getting in the ocean. We read about shark attacks. We read about lion attacks. People on safaris and zookeepers and animal trainers being attacked and maimed and killed by lions. We even read about dog attacks and domesticated animal attacks, attacking their owners and attacking strangers. But I've never heard, I've never read, I've never saw someone being attacked by a lamb, a non-threatening, a non-imposing little lamb. There's no wonder as we read Why, when Jesus came the first time, they rejected him. They were not looking for this lamb. They were not looking for someone that was innocent, some meek, some lowly, some harmless, some humble lamb to come. But they were looking for an imposing. They were looking for a powerful, a king, a distinctive leader to come. They were looking for someone to come and throw down the rod of iron. Someone, a revolutionary, to bring an uprising and vengeance. Someone to make amends for the, concerning the loss and the harm that Israel had experienced through the years. I say I can't blame them. As you read in the Old Testament, all 39 books of the Old Testament, a lamb was not seemingly God's nature. From Genesis to Malachi, a lamb was contrary to the nature of God. God's nature was not lamb-like. God's nature was not sheep-like. We don't find a lamb-like nature when God flooded the entire earth, sent the whole earth except for 8 souls into an ever fiery condemnation. That's not a lamb-like nature. There's not a lamb-like nature when you read about Sodom and Gomorrah, when fire comes raining down from heaven and burns up Sodom and the Gomorrah and the plains of the city. That's not a lamb-like nature. We don't find a lamb-like nature when those plagues descended down from Egypt, the fire and the blood and the hail and the lightning and the bulls and the darkness all across the land. That's not a lamb-like nature. We don't see the lamb-like nature there when the death angel came and he took away all the firstborn. But in the books of Kings and Chronicles and Ezekiel and Isaiah and Jeremiah, over and over again, you find judgment, you find wrath, you find pestilence, you find the sword, you find destruction. You don't find the nature and the essence of God in a lamb. So when he shows up, they're not looking for this lamb. They're looking for some powerful king. Some king to sit on the throne. They're looking for someone that would come and be riding a white stallion. One of a lion-like nature. Someone to come and to claim his kingship. And someone to come and claim lordship. Someone that was born in an ivory palace and marble floor. They weren't looking for him. But moreover, let me say tonight, he came as a lamb. He came when this world was dark and sin-cursed. He came born into some barn, some stable, some rock cave. He came, and I thought it very interesting, in a lowly manger. And outside of Joseph and outside of Mary, the first people that saw him were shepherds. Who else? Who else was more qualified to see what a lamb looks like? Who else was more than these shepherds to identify the Lamb of God? He didn't come as they thought he'd come. Some 30 years later, he comes to make his invitation, or to make his introduction as a prophet and a priest. And there on those dusty banks of the Jordan River, as John the Baptist is baptizing, they look, and he didn't say, "Here comes a king." He didn't say, "Here comes one that's going to rule. He's going to rule well. Or here comes the Lion of the tribe of Judah." But he proclaimed, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." He proclaimed. And here in our text, we see our Savior, God's nature as a lamb, was greatly noticed. It was greatly recognized. At Calvary, he came as a lamb. In Acts chapter number 8, the Bible says he was led as a sheep to slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before shears. Like a lamb that's not speaking, a lamb that's not revolting, a lamb that's not putting up a fight or fleeing. In the Gospels of Mark and Matthew and Luke and John, Jesus, he stood before Pontius Pilate. Jesus stood before Caiaphas, the high priest. He stood before King Herod, and they mocked him. They questioned him. They ridiculed him. They spit upon him. They slapped him. But let me say, my Savior, the Lamb of God, never answered a word. The Creator God, the Lamb of God, God in all his glory, the one who formed and fashioned the arms of man, is now slapping him in the face. the Creator God, the Lamb of God, the one that formed and fashioned the lips and the tongues of man, are now cursing and spitting upon him. He could have called upon his Father. We heard it this morning. He could have called on those legions and the legions of angels. He could have spoke a few simple words and destroyed them all. But as a sheep led to the slaughter and a lamb before his shear, he opened not his mouth. My Savior, the Lamb. Brother David, as we read these accounts of in the Old Testament and stories of these priests that would slaughter these lambs. They would take that precious, spotless, perfect lamb and they would cut the throat of the lamb, cutting the arteries in the neck. That blood would begin to spew. That blood would begin to spill, and so often that blood would be on the hands of the very one that took its life. Those lambs, they would not flee. They would not try to get away, but more often than not, they would turn and begin to find comfort and lick the blood off the hands of the very one that just took its life. Let me say tonight, that's what Jesus Christ did. As he was hanging on the cross of Calvary, he was licking the blood off the hands of the very ones that took his life when he cried, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He's the Lamb this tonight. He's the Lamb. I wonder tonight, do you know this Lamb? Do you know this? Is he your Lamb? Do you know him as your Lamb? In Exodus chapter 12, talking about that Passover Lamb, we find that God, he said to take a Lamb. Then he said, take the Lamb. And finally, he said, take your Lamb. You know, tonight, he is the Lamb. Tonight, he may be the Lamb, but unless he's your Lamb, you'll never see him face to face. The Lamb of God. I put number one. There has to be pictures of this Lamb. For us to know that he is the Lamb of God, there has to be some pictures. And from Genesis to Malachi, you cannot miss the pictures of this Lamb. He's pictured, he's shadowed, he's portrayed, and Israel missed it. All they saw was kings on thrones and great rulers of nations. They were looking for freedom from their physical bondage instead of freedom from their spiritual bondage. Let me say tonight, in the season of Thanksgiving, I'm thankful for the blessings God's given me. We sang that song, "So Blessed," his food and health and a roof above our head and heat to heat our home, and God's blessed us, and I'm thankful. I'm so very thankful for that. But moreover, tonight we ought to be more thankful. Our heart ought to rejoice for the spiritual blessings. Those material blessings, they are temporal, but the spiritual blessings are forever eternal. They were looking for a temporal freedom instead of eternal freedom. Adam and Eve sinned. They wronged the Lord. And the Bible says that God made them skins or coats of skins to cover their nakedness. I'm talking about the pictures in God's Word. I think it's safe to say that those skins probably came from lambs. A picture of my Savior. A picture of Jesus, of the just dying for the unjust, of the godly dying from the ungodly, from someone that did something wrong dying, or someone that was innocent dying for someone that did something so wrong. A picture of my Savior. When Abel, in chapter number 4 of Genesis, he shows up, he steps up, he offers that lamb, God smiles. God's pleased. God accepts that lamb. That's a picture of my Savior. We find that when Cain steps up and he offers the first fruit of the ground, the work of his hand, God rejects it. God refuses it. God doesn't want it. Let me say tonight, God's not interested in the works of our hands. He's not interested in our church membership or in our good works or in our baptism or how many charities we donate to or how many old ladies we help across the street. When God sees us, all he's looking for on our account is the Lamb of God. Have you trusted him tonight? Is this Lamb, has he taken your place? Isaac and Abraham, they take Isaac high up on Mount Moriah. there to be offered that sacrifice. And as Abraham raises that knife over in the thicket, caught by his horn, a ram. It's Isaac's substitute. He's there to take Isaac's place. That's a picture of my Savior. I think about that first Passover, that Passover lamb that is supposed to be innocent and spotless with no blemish. Moses and the Hebrews were to take that blood, the blood of that innocent lamb. You say, what were they to do to that blood? They were to apply that blood on the doorpost and on the lintel. On the doorpost and on the lintel. Do you see the picture of the cross on the doorpost and on the lintels? And when that death angel came at night, it's as if that blood said, you can't come in this house. This house has been covered. This house is saved. This house is secure. This house is saved because it's covered by the blood of the Lamb. From Moses' tabernacle to Solomon's temple, thousands and thousands upon thousands upon thousands lambs were slain. And as that throat was cut and that blood began to flow, that blood, I believe it was crying, there's one coming, there's one coming, there's one coming, the Lamb of God. Listen out tonight, Jesus, he did not come as a lamb because the Old Testament proclaims it and prophesies it. But he came as a lamb, and the Old Testament pictures and prophesies it because that's who he already was. Look at verse number 19. In verse number 19 in 1 Peter chapter 1. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest these last times for you. Jesus was not following these pictures. These did not take precedence of my Savior. They did not foreshadow Jesus Christ. But it was foreordained before the foundation of the world that he was going to be the spotless, pure, precious Lamb of God. Before any writer of the Old Testament nor knew, wrote ever through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, wrote a jot or tittle, it was in the mind of God that his Son would be slain as the Lamb for me and you tonight. There has to be some pictures, the pictures of this Lamb. But let me say, number two, this Lamb has to be pure. In Exodus chapter 5, the qualification for this sacrificial Lamb, it had to be without blemish. From the 10th day of the month to the 14th day, for 4 days, this lamb had to be hemmed up. This lamb had to be caged. It had to be kept watch on and inspected and looked over, watched. No blemish, no broken bones, no spots, no cuts, no bruises, not maimed in any way, but a spotless, perfect lamb. Without blemish. For 4 days, closely, under close scrutiny, under close inspection, observing and watching and focusing upon this lamb. For 33 and a half years, my Savior, they observed him. They watched him. They listened to him. They inspected him. And at the very end of his life, the end of his ministry, Pontius Pilate, he proclaimed what everybody else saw. I find no fault in him. 3.5 years, those disciples, they traveled with him. They ate with him. They bedded down with him. They talked with him. They couldn't find any fault in him. Matter of fact, Judas, who Jesus said was a devil from the beginning, he concluded, I have sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood. Let me say, I've been saved for 21 years. 21 years. I've failed God, but I've not always been faithful. I've not always done right. I've not always been perfect, but let me say, he has. And I have to say the same thing as Pilate. I can find no fault in him, for he is holy. He is hallowed. He is righteous. He is worthy. He is wonderful. For he tonight is the pure Lamb of God. This Lamb, he had to be pictured. He had to be pure. Let me say number three, he had to be a pardoning Lamb. A pardoning Lamb. How are we pardoned in verse number 19? With the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. A pardoning lamb. I thought about to myself this afternoon the pictures of this lamb in the Old Testament. And how they must have thought when they took this lamb, this innocent, spotless lamb, and it pardoned their sin. I mean, how did Adam feel? There, naked, sowing fig leaves, trying to hide himself, ashamed and guilty before God, trying to cover his nakedness. And God comes along and says, here, Adam, let me put this covering over you. How did Adam feel? I began to wonder about that. I began to wonder about there at the Passover. Moses and all the mothers and all the fathers and all the children and the families waking up that next morning, hearing the crying, hearing the wailing, hearing the lamenting of the multitudes of firstborns that died, and them thinking, I'm thankful for that lamb. How did they feel? Because that could have been them without this innocent, spotless lamb. All those sinners in the Old Testament that would come to the door of the tabernacle carrying the weight of sin and the weight of guilt upon their shoulders for the entire year and taking that special spotless lamb and giving to the priest and watching the priest cut its throat and burn it upon the altar, walking out free, walking away forgiven, not carrying that weight anymore. I began to think, how did they feel? But then I thought to myself, I don't have to wonder. I know how they feel. I don't have to wonder how Adam felt or how Isaac felt or how Abel felt or how down in Egypt how they felt. Because I know how it feels to be a hell-deserving sinner without God, only to see Jesus Christ as my only hope, my only substitute that's sufficient, my only way to be pardoned. For tonight, he is the only pardoning lamb there is. He's a pardoning lamb. How does it feel? Anna Lee, that'd be great if you could sing that song tonight after service. How does it feel to know you're a child of the God, of the King? Your heavenly Father, he owns everything. How does it feel to know you're all right when you lay your head on your pillow each night? How does it feel to know that you're loved when your Father, he's the one that created all those stars up above? I know how it feels tonight. Do you know how it feels? I know how it feels for the weight of sin and the weight of guilt and the weight of shame. God looking at my way, God calling my number, God calling me out, that conviction. I know how it feels, but I also know how it feels. Now bless his sweet holy name, under conviction, calling upon this lamb, and that conviction turning into cleanness, turning into righteousness, turning into holiness, turning into forgiveness, walking out different. Problem is, there's some in here tonight. Some in here tonight, you've walked into church time and time again, and you walk out of the service the same way. It don't have to be that way tonight, church. This pardoning lamb was given for you. It can be different tonight. Do you know this pardoning lamb? There was pictures of this lamb. This lamb was pure. This lamb was pardoning. Let me say, this lamb is also prevailing. Turn with me, if you would, to Revelation chapter number 5. Revelation chapter number 5. He's telling this Ethiopian eunuch that Jesus came as a sheep and like a lamb. What about this lamb? Revelation chapter number 5. Verse number 4, the Bible says, "And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And behold, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth." Look at verse number 9. This is where I want to get to. Verse number 9. I'm about to tell you what you are going to be doing in the future. One day in eternity, you're going to look back and say, "Preacher Gunn told me I would be doing this." Verse 9. "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels around about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them were 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands and thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches, wisdom and strength, honor and glory and blessings." There'll be a day, church, when we're standing before this Lamb and we can see where we could have been in hell, cast away in condemnation and wrath and judgment, but we're standing before the Lamb of God. And we're going to sit there, church, and say, "Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." He's a pardoning Lamb tonight. He's a prevailing Lamb tonight. And without God, you'll never stand before this perfect Lamb. Do you know this Lamb? He's worthy. He's pure. There's pictures in the Bible to show you that He is the Lamb of God. Let's stand tonight, church. Annalee, can you help me? Is that okay? She gets mad at me when I call her out. I'll hear about it in the car, so y'all pray for me. Father, tonight, we love you. We thank you, Father, we can call you the Lamb of God, our Lamb, our personal Lamb, that's pardoned our sin. And God, I pray tonight, if there's one amongst us that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, I pray the Holy Ghost, Lord, would do the work that only it can do to point them to this Lamb. God, I thank you for dying for my sins. I thank you, dying, Father, for the sins of the world. And God, I just want to tell you, I thank you for being my Lamb. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As they play this song, church, whatever your need is tonight, this altar is open. Do you know how it feels to have Him as your personal Lamb?